From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, welcome to another live performance in our Soundcheck podcast series. Streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, I'm John Schaefer. Rebecca Foon is a cellist, producer, multi-instrumentalist, composer, and climate activist. She's also a central part of the Montreal new music scene. She founded the progressive world music band Esmarine and has put out a couple of albums of layered cello soundscapes under the name Saltland. But her new effort, called Waxing Moon, features the piano and occasional other instruments, and it is the first album that Rebecca has released under her own name. Now, she's brought her cello into the studio today to play at least one of her older pieces, but right now she is at the piano to perform some of the music from Waxing Moon. Here's Rebecca Foon with Ocean Song.
Thank you. gives you my heart.
That is Rebecca Foon live at Our Piano with her Ocean Song, and actually incorporating a little bit of New World before heading on into the song itself, which was appropriate, Rebecca, because New World has that kind of wave of sound thing that happens in it.
Yeah, first of all, oceanic.
It's great to have you back.
Oh, it's so nice to be here. It's nice to see you.
Congratulations. Waxing Moon is just out. Includes both New World and Ocean Song. And it is, as I mentioned in introducing you, the first album that you've released under your own name. So it's tempting to say, Rebecca Foon, this time it's personal. does this feel like somehow more personal to you?
Yeah, I think that's actually why I, in the end, decided to do it under my own name, because it's a very raw album, very simple album, very intimate album. There's not a lot going on. So why not?
Well, there may not be a lot going on in terms of notes per second.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot new here.
Mm-hmm,
you know, we've grown used to hearing you as a cellist. And, you know, the piano is pretty much front and center on much of this record. So what drove that? Was it in the songwriting, or did the songs... which came first, the songs or the instrumentation?
I think I was inspired by a lot of people that I admire, musicians that I admire, doing very simple stuff on the piano. And so it kind of led me to try. And
like
I wanted,
who are some of the...
Tom York, some of his really simple piano and singing songs. And an old Cat Power stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was inspired to kind of strip away completely out of my comfort zone. I was starting to feel like on the cello, I was just a little too comfortable for my own writing, that I wasn't really getting, I wasn't creating what I wanted to be creating. And I just really wanted to, I had a lot of sadness in me over the last couple of years that I was needing to channel out of me. So I was drawn to the piano and just very simple chords to, I was drawn to singing and lyric writing. And I was finding it challenging to do it on the cello. And so I decided to kind of rock my whole comfort zone and go to the piano, which I never have taken a lesson in my life, and just write out simple chords. And that was the inspiration for writing lyrics on top of, and exploring singing on top of that. And then I would build other instrumentation on top of those simple chords.
And the album Waxing Moon, all of the proceeds from this album benefit Pathway to Paris, which is the organization that you co-founded with Jesse Paris Smith, the daughter of Patti Smith. Have you worked together musically, or is this purely?
Yes, well, over the years with every Pathway concert, but also we met. Well, Silver Mount Zion used to play with Patti, and then we were invited
Montreal
to
Montreal band that you were part of.
Yeah, and then we, like, just a few concerts we did together. And then there was an Ornette Coleman curation at the Meltdown Festival in London in 2009. And so I was invited to be a part of that. And I played a little bit with Patti and Jesse. And that's where Jesse and I met. And we recognized in each other an environmental activism and passion for what's going on with the world pertaining to climate change, and so kind of followed each other over the years.
And Pathway to Paris, the name refers to the Paris Accords, and kind of making sure that it's not just words on a piece of paper, but that those ideas are put into action.
Exactly, yeah. So it was born out of anxiety that the Paris Agreement wasn't going to be established in those 2015 meetings that took place in Paris. And so we started putting on a series of events starting in 2014 to raise awareness about the importance of actually establishing the Paris Agreement. Because when we were looking back at like Kyoto and the Copenhagen meetings, it's also depressing. And so we were trying to really push that idea forward. And then we decided to turn it into a nonprofit because, and still keep the name Pathway to Paris because of how complicated and urgent it is to actually meet the targets that have been established in the Paris Agreement of limiting global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees.
And so there is a kind of a sub mission called 1,000 Cities.
Yeah.
Explain what that is.
I'd love to. So Pathway to Paris launched the 1,000 Cities Initiative for Carbon Freedom at the UN at a press conference at the Secretariat, and also at a concert we did in 2017 at Carnegie Hall. The idea is that if 1,000 cities can go zero emissions, completely off, transition off of fossil fuels by 2040, then we can get a lot closer to turning the Paris Agreement into reality. And so as part of that effort, well, right now what we're working on is a carbon calculator that for cities to figure out how many more years they have left to put fossil fuels into the air when you look at the global picture.
The interesting thing about 1,000 cities is, you know, with the United States currently out of the Paris Accord, you can still get New York, L.A., Chicago.
Exactly. Know. And that's the idea. And it's also to help inspire and engage, activate the regular citizen.
Right.
Because so much of the climate dialogue, it's so technical. And also, it's hard to access because it's so complicated and scary, but also hard to understand when you dive into GHG emissions and the math of that. And so we're trying to make it easier to wrap your head around, but and also easier to come up with solutions to dive into your own city and communities and push your communities to go off of fossil fuels.
Now, Michael Stipe of REM, you know, has been off the music scene for a while, but when he came back with his last single, all of those proceeds went to Pathway to Paris, too.
So
he's obviously a fan.
Yeah.
And it just occurs to me now, do you hate when this happens? I mean, you're here to talk about your music, and here I am asking you about your environmental work, climate change. I mean, do you try and keep the two worlds separate?
Not at all, because at this point in life, like, first of all, I hate what's it called when you're like trying to show the world what you do? Like I'm very shy as a person, but also I just feel like we're in a true state of emergency. Yeah. And like, God, we have like 8 years left, they say, when we look at the UN climate reports to figure this out. And so I really feel like, well, we're facing our own extinction as a planet. And if we can't, like, that's insane.
Yeah,
and our planet is so beautiful. Why is not every person trying to figure this out? Because if we have no planet, we have no planet. And so, like, where are we going to go? We're not all going to go to Mars. And also, who cares about Mars? Like, our planet is so beautiful. I just feel that it's an obligation, if you love our planet right now, to try to do everything you can to, and however you can within your one life, to try and make an impact.
Right. And of course, that's always the question with art, is like, you know, how much of a change can art
make?
Yeah, can
and
art
yeah, this
suggest
is,
or impose?
And it's a tricky question, I think. And for me, this just coming back to this album, Waxing Moon. Waxing Moon.
Well done, by the way. Yeah, getting us back to on topic.
Well, it's completely related because the album title relates to the moon expanding over the month. And for me, that came from, I started being very curious about spiritual leaders in this time, like the Dalai Lama or the Karmapa or Pema Chodron, different leaders and what they think about or feel about this climate emergency, the state we're in right now. So it's a very spiritual record, and it's not as, I would argue that my Saltland album previously was more direct in terms of the lyrics with climate change. This one is much more spiritual, and because I guess I'm also in a different space of like watching the world, observing the world, and trying to make my little
contribution
however I can. But it also just made me kind of like reflect on like love and compassion and enlightenment, and that it really takes a state of enlightenment for us to move out of our current state. And what is enlightenment? So Waxing Moon, the idea of the waxing moon comes from, I found myself in an elevator with a Karmapa a couple of years ago, and I had no idea who
Karmapa
he was.
Being?
He's a spiritual leader of Tibet.
Like a lama?
And I was so moved by his energy that I had to Google it, and that's how I figured it out, that it was him, and then went on to study a little bit with him, followed him for some teachings, and he spoke a lot about enlightenment. So a lot of the lyrics are inspired by those teachings.
Yeah. So there's nothing or very little that you can overtly say this is about this existential crisis. On the other hand, natural imagery is pretty threaded throughout these songs.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And some lyrics are more tapped into certain things.
Like
there's a lyric about Stephen Hawking before he died saying that we had 1,000 years left to live, and then he changed it to 100 years right before he died.
Well, that's an ocean song, right?
Yeah,
the 100 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Although you don't
that's
actually
related to Steve.
Yeah.
It's a shout out to him.
Without actually mentioning him by name in the lyrics. Yeah. So, all right. So you want to do the title track for us?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I'd love to. Thank you.
We're speaking with Rebecca Foon. Her brand new album is called Waxing Moon. And again, all the proceeds from the sale of the record go to support the Pathways to Paris organization. Here is Rebecca Foon at our piano once again with the title track. Thank you.
wishing to benefit.
Once again, that is Rebecca Foon with the title track of her brand new album called Waxing Moon, playing at our piano. But she's also brought the cello and its attendant pedals and loops and layering gear, and we'll be hearing an older piece from Rebecca momentarily. The album, Waxing Moon, as we mentioned earlier, is a benefit for Pathway to Paris, the climate justice organization that Rebecca co-founded with Jesse Paris Smith and continues to do work for. And Rebecca, your next gig is at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. on March 21st.
With Patty and Jesse.
Oh, is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Okay. So is it a Pathway to Paris event?
It isn't, but our hearts are there. I'm scared.
So when you play with Patty and Jesse, is it basically a Patti Smith show and you and Jesse are the band? Or
yeah, we've never actually done it before, so we'll see.
All right. Yeah. Very nice. March 21st TBD. At the Kennedy Center. So the Saltland records, you and the cello, the electronics, they're very lush. They are soundscapes. This album, Waxing Moon, for the most part, as we just heard, very spare, stark even at times, kind of minimal. Was minimalism a kind of an influence for you?
I love that album, Arvo Part, Music for Alina. You know that album?
Yes. Viralina is, there are a couple of different versions of it, but a very spare piano
piece, very spare,
beautiful.
And like, hold on to every note.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a shout out to that.
Okay.
But
and Arvo Pärt's music, very spiritually based.
Yeah.
As you were saying about these
songs. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
And what about, you know, there are moments that almost have an echo of some of Philip Glass's slower, more lyrical stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm also a huge fan.
Yeah.
That's nice to hear.
But you are, after all, you know, associated with the Montreal scene, even though you live part-time here in New York. And even though this is largely a Rebecca Foon album, that Montreal click is still in evidence, right?
I mean, you know, it was completely organic. It wasn't planned. It was just my friends coming into the studio, hanging out, and then things happened.
So Richard Reed Parry from Arcade Fire.
Sweet. Yeah, and Patrick Watson
from the band Patrick Watson.
Yeah, it was an honor to sing with him on that song. He's also a dear friend. And Sophie, we played together for years. Sophie Trudeau from Godspeed.
From Godspeed, Black Emperor, right?
Yeah.
What is the status of Silver Mount Zion? Is that still active?
Not really.
Okay.
But you never know.
Right.
You never know what will happen.
So with the Saltland albums that you've done, they kind of present as these lush tapestries of layered cellos,
yeah.
You know, very kind of electroacoustic sweep. And it really is kind of a shock to realize how much of that is actually song, you know, with lyrics and you
right.
singing. And so
right.
you have been doing this all along. It just
yeah, I've always been, you know, it's funny. I've been singing since, I guess my first Saltland album was 2013. I used to sing like backup vocals in Silver Mount Zion, and that kind of got me going. But I never really knew what my voice sounded like. And then 2013, when I released that first Saltland album, it was a challenge for me to start singing because I am such a shy person. And I was like, oh, God. But I had things to say. And so, but in the last couple of years, I feel personally that my voice has completely changed. And I'm not totally sure why. I think I've gone through a series of different personal small tragedies in my own life, which I think I'm actually grateful for because it opened up my heart, which I think also opened up my spirit in some weird way of accessing a deeper part of myself that comes through, I think, when I sing.
So,
but who knows? It might just be my own personal thoughts.
But. No, but I, you know, that makes a lot of sense because if things have changed, you know,
yeah.
kind of physically, if muscles have relaxed, I mean,
right.
You're a yoga instructor. You know all that's, you know,
yeah.
the mind-body-spirit
totally.
Connection is...
Yeah.
We haven't really kind of plumbed the depths of that yet.
Yeah, and I think when people experience tragedy or grief, let's put it that way, a process of grief inside of themselves, they're drawn... You can be, and I was blessed to be drawn to looking deeper at the world, more a bit deeper than the physical plane and entering more of a spiritual analysis of life, and that fits very well with playing the cello and singing and playing piano
and with being a climate activist.
Yes, totally. It helps your sanity, let's put it that way.
Yeah. So when you look back at the older Saltland songs,
mm-hmm.
are they the work of a different musician?
A little bit, yeah, I think so. Because I think everything before this album is a different musician. Because
wow.
I wasn't as spiritual as a person. And so it's much more, yeah, the lyrics are much more direct. And I've always enjoyed music as a process of trying to explore other realms and like getting out of our like daily mundane realities. It's like why I'm drawn to music,
mm-hmm.
whether it's listening to other people's music and kind of trying to enjoy a little bit of their other channeling and whatever magic they're creating or within myself. But I think now I'm up for a bit more of a journey.
Well, it's funny that, you know, a simple tool, I mean, not that the piano is a simple tool, but,
yeah.
you know, but that just a piano can do that for you when, you know, up till now, we've been more accustomed to seeing you as you are now seated behind
yeah.
the cello and two different racks of effects boxes and stuff and like all the gear, all the gizmos. And
totally.
Yeah. But this
it's
is fun too.
And yeah, totally.
So how far back are we going with this next piece?
This one is, I Only Wish This for You from A Common Truth, the last album,
which
is
the last
very
record.
Climate. Based the lyrics.
Well, even the name Saltland. I mean,
yeah.
traditionally, that's how an army would destroy the land that they had conquered or were about to leave behind.
Totally.
You salt the earth. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
And also, salt is so healing. So, it's this weird paradox.
Yeah.
So,
I Only Wish This for You is the name of the song.
Yeah.
And, all right. So, it's.
And it's for all the children of the world.
And it's a little bit of a look back musically from my guest, Rebecca Foon. Sure. That is Rebecca Foon live here in the studio. All of those layers of cello, they build up really fast. So very quickly you had an almost orchestral texture there. Just you and the cello. So the song is I Only Wish This For You, which is from the last album under the name Saltland called A Common Truth. There are two Saltland records, and now there is this record under your own name called Waxing Moon. And does this feel like a transitional, like a watershed moment? Do you feel like it's going to be kind of a different thing going forward musically?
Well, I think all the time in life, everything you do brings you to the next thing. So I think it builds off of everything else.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful to have the opportunity to express myself in this way.
How do you juggle the climate change activity, Pathway to Paris, and your musical life?
Well, luckily, they're connected. because we put on the concerts.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm so grateful for Jesse and for Pathway to Paris because it's really given us a platform to channel our passions and our what we truly care about and integrate music while also creating a platform for ourselves and for anyone who's interested in the arts or leading thinkers to talk about climate change and offer solutions.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a big job and one that will occupy more and more of us for more and more time as we head on through. But in the meantime, Waxing Moon sounds great. Rebecca, it's been a pleasure having you back here in our studio. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Rebecca
Thank you for
Foon,
having me.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.